One thing that is very important as Christians, actually, it is what sets us Christians apart from people who are not Christians. And for the lack of diligence or consciousness of this thing, the fact that this thing has been missing has not allowed us to be differentiated as well as we could have been. And what I'm about to share goes to the core of what it really means, in a very simple sense, to be a believer. I want to share on the aspect of just simple witnessing. Witnessing for Christ. Right. Just some of the things that the Holy Spirit laid. And as we have been praying and as we see all these empty seats, and they preach to us as believers, every empty seat, every person who is yet to know Christ that we meet, is either we're sending a message to them or they're sending a message to us, right? Because of all the things that Christ wants us to be when he left, one of it is that we should be representatives of him personally. Actually, that is what we signed up to be. We signed up as disciples, not just to be great and nice Christians. That is ours personally. But commissionally, whatever that word means, we are called. We have a job to do. We are called to represent Jesus Christ. Remember that famous passage, "It is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the very life I live by faith in the Son of Man who loved me and died for me." When the Lord Jesus Christ was ascending, one of the commandments he gave is that we should go into the world. We're going to read a few passages, right? And preach the good news to the world. I'd like someone to open to Mark 24. And let's read from verse 44 down. As we go on. The book of Mark. 24 first. Mark. Someone whimpering. Mark 16, 14 first. Let's read a few of these passages, then we'll share a few things. 16. And I pray that Mark 16, sorry, I said Mark 24. But Matthew, I probably mean. First, let's go to Matthew.
Okay, Matthew.
24. Sorry? Let me just read it. Let's go to Matthew 28 first, the Great Commission, and I'll read that from verse 16. It says, "The 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for him. Then they saw him, and then there they just worshipped him, but still they doubted." Right? This was at ascension, the last moment of Christ on earth, before he was taken up. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, and this was what he said. He said, and I want you to pay attention to this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen." I don't want you to gloss over the phrase, "all authority has been given." And because I have all authority, go therefore. I mean, if you had attempted to minister to someone, you will immediately know what Christ meant by authority having been given to him. I don't know if you have with trepidation ever gone forth to try to minister. Initially, you were very afraid, right? And as you begin to talk, you just see that it's actually the other person that is intimidated, not you. Eventually, when we take the step of faith to speak, first few seconds, the fear disappears because the Lord Jesus already bought. The Bible says, that song says he has procured salvation unto all men. We're just reaping, right? It's much easier to go and reap. He said, I've sent you to reap where you have not planted. Others have planted. Christ already went ahead of us. So here as he was ascending, he was assuring us that don't worry about it. I have all the power and I delegate it to you. You are free with courage to go and be my witnesses. So don't let's be intimidated. At times we are very afraid. And I dare say that we Christians are somewhat intimidated to represent Jesus. And there's an urgent need to really represent Jesus Christ. And I don't mean in a grand way as in starting a crusade or as in fasting and praying for 10 days. I mean, just in whether you eat or drink, everything you do, do it to the glory of the Lord. As the Lord giving to you breakfast, will someone here bother to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord fed me this morning, my brother. That is bearing a witness. All of us have a testimony. We always assume that bearing witness simply means at all times, open to the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And we think we have to memorize all of these powerful things too. If someone says, nice shoes, you can bear witness. Oh, I bless the name of the Lord. You know, I don't know. I just thank God for his privilege. There are so many people without shoes, so many people without. But to find myself in this position, just having the conscience, and by the way, you are bearing witness to the truth. Ascribing the honor and the glory and the majesty in your daily conversation to God creates a consciousness of his lordship over the universe, which Satan is robbing the world of. The Lord is waiting for us Christians to be able to stand up and speak. And if you think about it that way, you will see how many opportunities we've lost to be witnesses of the Lord. The Lord made me know that if we put on this mindset and our lives are filled with a desire to represent Jesus everywhere we go, just in that natural way, that one will not be bored in our Christianity. And the Lord will be glorified in us. So I want you to read from Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Where did I get Mark 24 from?
Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. 15.
You know what? I'm getting all my references wrong this morning. I'm going to admit that. Let me get the passage I really want. You know,
15,
I could.
Go ye.
Okay, please, then go to 15.
15.
Sorry, forgive me. I'll be more diligent next time. Okay, read it, please. Then go into the world, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's where I want.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Please continue to read right down to verse 20.
So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Amen. In the last passage, we read about his ascension and his commandment. Here, I think now I know why I wrote 14 down. Because I wanted you to see that even these folks started from a place of doubt. They had seen everything, and like us, there's that. I think you are all familiar with that. Even they had seen the ascension, they had seen everything about Christ. And yet, see, the Lord rebuked them for their unbelief, because after everything, they still did not believe he had risen. And this was after they had seen everything. Then the Lord appears to them, said, come on. Why are you doubting? It's no longer time to doubt. Now you go and represent me. Represent me in DC. Represent me at your workplace. I'm not saying you should pull a pulpit. It's not saying I should drag these pulpits to the front of my workplace and pull a John the Baptist on them. No. So it's just anywhere you go, if it is true, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Represent me. What you have heard is true. Now, come on, get up. It's time to go and preach the gospel, baptize people. You can't guarantee the result. Just make sure they hear it. I'm sending you to tell it. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell them that Jesus gave me a great school. Go tell them Jesus made me smart for programming. Go tell them Jesus gave me a great, so many great stuff. Go tell them. Because, and you're not even witnessing, we always seek an opportunity to witness, but I dare say that the opportunity will present itself to you. First, let us learn to make use of the opportunity that presents itself to us. People will come to you and ask you things. Do we deliberately hide the glory of the Lord? The things that God has done, the things that God did for us, do we remember to mention in our conversation? And we're going to see examples of witnesses in the Bible. How they used the woman by the well, which is going about her business, fetching water for her household. And then she met with the Messiah, and she was not silent. Let's open to Matthew chapter 10 real quick. I think it's verse 27. And you see what the Lord's intention is for you in witnessing. What it means to be an evangelist, to be a witness to Jesus Christ. Right. Please, anybody that finds it should read it. And I hope that as we go into the week, something changes. The Bible says we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that as the word renews our mind, we prove that which is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God.
What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that speak ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows.
Okay, let's stop there. That's the Lord's plan for us. We all have personal experiences of Christ. Christ is saying, this is the time when you go out and be my mouthpiece. Tell people about it. Whatever your personal experience is, when we learn to give thanks for little things, to be faithful in little things, then the miracles will come. I want you to notice in the closing of that Mark 16 passage that it was as they were bearing witness to Jesus that miracles begin to. There's no such thing as healing ministry, my brothers. We are the ones that create specialization in Christendom. If you read the Bible carefully, you notice that the Lord is not a specialization God. The vision and the purpose of the Lord of God is made clear in his scriptures to glorify his Son and bring souls to salvation. The Lazarus that was raised from the dead died again. That raising from the dead was in order to facilitate witnessing. The Lord said, they asked the Lord, this man that was born blind, why was he born blind? Is it because someone sinned? I said, you don't understand. You are focusing on the blindness and the miracle. This is not what I'm about. He was deliberately made blind so that God may be glorified in him. The Lord needs him. I have to open his eyes. Hey, buddy. I have to open his eyes because it will be recorded and faith will be engendered in the hearts of many. All of the things that have been happening to you, I hope you know that no matter how good, how great, or how horrible your life has been on earth, that is just a little drop in your eternal experience. Your story has not even begun yet. Whatever, he said, whether you eat or drink, whatever you are, do it to the glory of the Lord. Everything that happens to you, your life, your death, your birth, your circumstance, your migration, immigration, on migration, whatever, there's a plan. It's just an integral part of the plan to bring you to the fullness of eternal joy. Some of us, we go through the harder road. Some people, we go through the softer road. Whether it's hard or soft, all of it is for the glory of the Lord. And the Peter, the Paul that was beaten by a rod, he goes out to the glory of the Lord. He witnesses to Jesus. Those that live in palaces, we go forth and witness to the glory of the Lord. Everything, the wristwatch in your hand, is a tool of witnessing. Everything. You don't know. The Bible says it is not in a man to direct. You don't know why stuff are. You all can bear me witness that if they asked you 5 years ago, would you be where you are today? You will say, I had something in mind, but sincerely, I can't really say that this is where I plan to be. So we all bear witness that God is working in our lives apart from us. We wake up every morning to uncover his plans for us. It is our job to talk about it. Let's find Jesus in every situation and say it. When you are in trouble, it's a tool of witnessing. David, if you read the Psalms, used trouble a lot. Oh, the Lord will deliver me. I will cry unto the God. He said it before it happened, so that when it happened, people will know where he's delivered. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job said it. He set the Lord up. In his trouble, he declared that this trouble is of the Lord, and he will see me through. He was a witness. So I hope we'll stop looking at our everyday life like it's just life happening to us. No, it's Jesus happening to us. Let's find what the Lord is doing in it. Let's not lose that opportunity to tell of his praise and his glory. The Lord revealed to me is this is why we Christians are very sad. Because we don't find purpose. And he said he has made clear his purpose regarding us in his creatures. But we refuse to see the purpose of God in our lives. We are reactive rather than proactive. Whereas we already know the end of our story, that it is joy. Say to the righteous, it is well with him. So that hinders our joy and it hinders our ability. All of us have something to say about Jesus this morning. All of us. If you put it in your mind, you'll find out that you could have spoken to 3-4 people about Jesus this week. And this coming week, I pray that I will not lose the opportunity. In Jesus' name. So, and don't be afraid. Remember when the Lord ascended. Let's open our Bibles quickly to the book of Acts chapter 2. I hope I'm from verse 14.
Acts 2:14.
Yeah.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them.
Yes, we'll get to that. But please go to Acts 1. I want you to see, this is a physician, for instance, bearing witness to Jesus. I mean, you don't have to be an anointed evangelist. Please hold Acts 2. So once you open to Acts 1, of course, we know Acts was written by the physician Luke. And let's see how he even opened the letter in the first place and what his intention was. As an example of being a witness. Right. Anybody, Acts 1.
The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now."
Okay, let's stop there, Sister Buki. I want you to look, you know, when we read scriptures, we really read it like it's some cryptic message, right? Like the Holy Ghost just dropped it down, right? No, this was an ordinary letter. This man, when he was writing this, thought he was addressing a personal letter to a man called Theophilus. He said to himself one day, "I'm a physician, I'm well read. I think it's about time someone puts in order the account of what Christ did. And I think I have, it's just like you deciding, I want to write a book. To the glory of the Lord, I think I want to use my skill. I'm a physician, but I'm learned. I know how to write Greek, whatever the language is. And I want to use it to glorify God." And hence we have the Acts of the Apostles. What he did not know was that the Holy Ghost was canonizing the events of Christ in his personal letter to Theophilus. Do you understand? Look at that letter. Doesn't that sound like, oh, the former accounts, oh, Babs, regarding the things that began to be done by Jesus. Dr. Babs, I want to write you an email about what I believe happened in Cleveland last weekend. Because I think, I don't want us to forget. I want to document, some of us keep diary. This man was just trying to keep a diary because he was inclined to diary keeping. That diary became the mighty book of Acts that the Holy Ghost has used. He had no doubt that everything he did was being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Is it a song you are writing? Is it anything you're doing for the sake of Jesus you are witnessing? So his intention was to write a letter to get busy in the fold of the Lord. Okay, I wasn't there when he ascended, but I know this story better than some of the people who were there. I love to write stories. I'm going to write Theophilus, which means lover of God. I'm going to write him a letter. That's the spirit of witnessing. Think within you at all times. What good thing might I be doing for the Lord? What do I know about Jesus that I can present? I want to talk about him. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The Prince of Peace he is. The Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. Let's talk about Jesus day by day. That is what it means to witness. It means to find the consciousness of mind to say thanks be to God. Peradventure, there's someone who needs to know that there's a God that provides for us. When they promote you, to find the consciousness of mind to say, this was done by God. We owe him all things. But at times, we keep it to ourselves. But I said, everything that is being done to us privately, personally, this is time to go to the top of the house and to shout it. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 2. Another example of witnessing. The last example was witnessing as a normal course. When you have a mindset of witnessing, the talent you have will be an expression of your witness. You get what I mean? Some of us are working in healthcare. When you enter into that hospital, what's on your mind? Is it all healing and job or clocking and... No, but what is on your mind should be, I'm representing Christ. And then the opportunities will come. May I pray with you? Do you know how powerful "may I pray with you" is? The Lord put this powerfully on my mind on a plane ride from Cleveland. I was sitting next to an elderly woman and a young man. And I was reading Tortured for Christ by Richard Wainwright. And as usual, of course, I minded my own business because God is working on me on this proactive witnessing thing as well. And he ministered this to me after I left the plane. To show me how many opportunities I've lost in all of my plane rides. As from today, when I'm going out, I'm going to take a Christian book. You know, we often wonder, some of us say we are very bad at openers. Don't worry, the Lord will open the conversation. If our mindset is there, he will. Is it nice shoes, nice hair? The conversation will open up. The plan will be, what will you do with it? Right? He will. He's the one that sent us. and his light is upon us. So after ignoring this woman for the total duration of the flight, the woman says to me, I like the what book are you reading? And I went, oh wow, this is about a man, it's about the early church, the persecutions in Romania when the communists came over, said about how Christianity was. And she says to me, I've been praying for real Christianity. And I looked at her. She says, I've been praying for real Christianity. And we began to talk. Then after she was done, she said, the woman, you're looking at a walking miracle. I said, tell me your testimony. And she tells me. I said, may we pray together? And we shared a fellowship. As I was stepping out, the son made a comment to me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you lost that opportunity. You would have been a witness to that boy as well. Then I began to think, how many opportunities have I lost to glorify the Lord? We should be sensitive to opportunities, because Christ will bring the opportunities. He does not just send us to be on our own. He's the chief shepherd. He said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So we should begin to look out for those opportunities to say a word, to pray with someone. Pray with someone. You'll be amazed how many people out there are waiting for Christians to have the courage to tell them about God and to pray with them. Let's look out for these opportunities, please.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, but be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I would pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Praise the Lord. This was our Pentecost. We love to have Holy Ghost services, but Peter turned the Holy Ghost service into an evangelical meeting. And the lesson that I was reading is that the Holy Spirit teaches is, we look so much within that we forget to project the grace of God outwards. We Christians often are content to be filled, but to pour forth, we're a little slow in doing that. Everything, even the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, I think I was speaking with my sister Megan a few days ago about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it occurred to me, of course, that has become in of itself a ministry. He's the minister of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Brother Wale canceled him in the gospel. Then moved to Brother Peter, who we administered the baptism. So there's all this specialization going on, right? But we see here that even at the onset of Pentecost, before the onset, Christ said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the sign is this, you will receive boldness, and that boldness will allow you to be my witness. And that was what happened with Peter in the passage we just read. God gives his gifts. God's mindset is, have you ever wondered why two Christians pray, one is answered, the other is not? Does it mean that God loves one more than the other? Huh? It happens all the time. Folake prays for something, she gets it. Kemi prays for the same thing, she doesn't. What, Dr. Babs? I shouldn't say it. It's because God has different purposes. He loves Folake as much as he loves Kemi. But there's something in both of those that he wants to accomplish. Right? We always look for the positive. We think the end We think that the result is the end, but the end is yet to come. He will make all things clear in its due time. So in your situation, there is a testimony somewhere. There's a purpose. There's hope that should keep us going. At Pentecost, no matter how delightsome, if a Christian gets healed, at times we're too focused on the minister that administered the healing and the person that just got healed, and not on the Jesus that performed it. But actually, the important message in such miracles, like I keep saying, Lazarus was raised from the dead. He promptly died about 50 years later, right? His death was just delayed. But the message, the purpose of his death, initial death, was fulfilled to glorify Christ. Also, there's Christ to be glorified in any opportunity. Don't be too high as Christ. Don't get overexcited over anything. Like I said, we get overexcited. We call it the move of the spirit because we have things shivers down our spine. No, God does not do stuff because of you. He said everything he does for his own glory. You all will be rewarded. We'll come to a fullness of his love, right? Let's always find Jesus in everything. That's the way you won't get carried away by every wind of doctrine. The real evangel is that which projects Jesus, tells about Jesus, tells about his purpose, his vision, so that the world will be saved. Every healing in the Bible, I started by saying that healing is not a specialized ministry. Every healing that took place so that Jesus, the testimony, the witness of Jesus, will be believed. So when you pray, make sure you are praying so that the glory of God will be seen. But at times we are preoccupied with situation rather than the Lord of the situation. And if you look at it that way, you see that all of us have something to tell people about Jesus. Will you, children, like to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ? On the playground, the Lord is looking for the girl that will say, Christ is Lord. You're so smart. God made me smart. Why are you always talking about God? Because it's true. And we irritate people by putting on artificial Christianese. We talk in languages that the world does not understand. You know? We're so staid. You know what I mean? We are, you know, when we are holy, there seems to be holy language. I don't know what holy language means, by the way. We can't say, I love you. We have to say, I love you with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and people see through all of this artificiality. Unless you mean it. We can't say, I'm sick. It has to be, my enemy is sick. Oh, I'm strong. Better say, well, why are you talking to me if you're strong, right? You can't say, I'm broke. And Christ will give me money. I'm rich. You know, and Christ wasn't like that. That's what people, I challenge you to try to be like Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was just the plainest of all men. He was so easy to talk to. When he was hungry, he said, I'm hungry. When he was scared, he said, I'm scared. But in his hunger, in his scaredness, in his healing, his focus was on his Father. And the Bible says we should also set our focus on the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, it will show. So people can, we talk in King James. I love King James, but I don't have to talk in King James, right? And then the other side, the other end is we don't even want to talk at all. Now we want to be so hip. We don't want to mention Jesus. And they say, preach the gospel if necessarily by words. I don't know how. What do you want to preach in your nose? How is it there to preach the gospel? I mean, let's just admit it. We're ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Let's call it what it is. All right? Speak about your children only if necessarily by words. No. We talk about our kids because we love them. Nobody can. Other people might think they are this, they are that. We talk about them. They are our kids. So let's talk about our Jesus. If he gave us food, let's say Jesus gave me food. If it's your mommy, say my mommy gave me food. And let mommy say Jesus gave me food to give to you. There is a testimony. How many times has the Lord blessed us that we have not borne witness? The Lord is waiting for us to be witnesses. When we are witnesses, natural witnesses, isn't it comforting to know we don't have to heal? All we need to do is to pray for people that they will be healed. I don't care how anointing, no man has ever healed anybody before. No man. Jesus heals through them. The same Jesus is present today. But we are not seeing these miracles, like Mark 16 says, because we are not witnesses. And you know, God will not play games. We want miracles, but we want miracles not in the context of purpose. We want miracles as a ministry. We want to take solace in the supernatural, but the supernatural really is Christ. So for hearts and minds and congregations that are not filled with presenting the purpose and the vision of Christ, the Bible says that it has pleased the Lord that in Jesus, the entire Godhead will repose. For people who do not know Christ, who do not want to represent him, and we want to see the power of God, we are essentially saying the Lord should set up a healing ministry. But all he has is a Jesus ministry. As we project Jesus, as we represent him, the Holy Ghost will be present to heal the sick. The Lord Jesus did not preach healing. He preached himself and healing followed. So if there's a paucity of a scarcity of healing and the gifts, and also we want the gift of the Holy Ghost. I see people asking for the gift of the Spirit a lot. Say, go and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, it doesn't happen. Jesus did not say, go and pray. He said, wait on me. And then you will have the Holy Spirit. Where we are willing, the Holy Spirit came to empower the witness of Christ. I wish you understand how powerful Jesus is in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth. How jealous, how the Father delights in his Son. How, for the sake of the Son, the Father will give to us anything. Do you understand, Danny? You understand, Eniola? I want you to fall in love with Christ. Religion gives headache. Jesus gives peace. That's why I always encourage us, please, if you don't do anything, be very familiar with the words of Christ. He's the object of Christianity. And testify. Witness. Some people call themselves Jehovah Witness. They are stuck in Malachi. Jehovah is hidden in Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. Anybody wants to reach Jehovah, he must come through me. You see, that's the missing element. Let the word, when our people see us, whether in the house or outside the house, let them know about Jesus Christ. Let them know. Don't let your Christianity be about you or about an issue or about a miracle. Let it be about Jesus. So as we go out, let's witness about Jesus. Let's be friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very simple. He said, put thy yoke, my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I'd like us to close soon. So I'd like us to read John chapter 4. I'll just tell the story because you all know it. Remember the story of the woman by the well? Right? What happened? Just in her daily chore, she went to fetch water. She met a prophet. She began to speak to the Lord. And then she started politics. And the Lord, as always, turned the discussion from politics to himself and began to witness to a single. That's how interested Jesus is in that worker by your cube or your office. Because I know all of us, some of us, there are big, big organs at work. Next to your office, that worker. Jesus paid attention to one woman, a sinner. So that guy that irritates you, you're a witness to that guy. How long have you sat next to this woman and you've not bothered to share anything about Jesus Christ with her? You are the light. He said, you are my light. You are my candle. In that office, you are my candle. You can change your mindset. You can see yourself as her trouble is an opportunity for you to be a witness. If we stop being a little, then let's think about it. It is no longer us that lives, right? And here was this woman, very counter cross. She just wants to argue. But the Lord was ready. And then she told her things. I want to go, before I go on, I'm challenging us to do this, but I want you to commit this to prayer, because it all starts with you praying and praying. The Lord did not just say, go and be my witness. He said, you'll be endued from power. So I want you to pray that God will grant to you the fullness of the Spirit to have the courage to be and to seize the opportunities, right? But so this is an instance of a woman who had the gospel, like us, and then she goes home, and she did not need to quote Isaiah or anything. I just met a great guy who told me some fantastic... She could have gone home and be quiet. She actually left her pot there. That was how willing she was. Did she take her pot? Whatever. She went back. And she preached. And they said, and people love to hear gist. You know it. You know if you went to that woman next door to start the discussion about the bombing in France. There's a gist. Jesus is a gist we can share as well. And they said, really? He told you, let's go and watch this magic show. This is how all of you ought to be inviting people to church. The other day we learned in church about this. This church that you've been talking about, let me follow you there. What's the address? But if we keep quiet, in I think it's the 10th or the 9th of Romans, he says, how will they preach if they have not heard? No, how will they believe if they have not heard? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who bring glad tidings of great things or thereabout. You see, we have a responsibility. We have a zip code and an address that belongs to you. I cannot go and reap on your field. There's a way that Jesus sent you. Your area of influence. There's a way you talk the way you talk. God sent Paul to those knuckleheads that are full of academics. He sent John to the tender hearts that understand only the message of love. God sent all of you, Ogadebo, to those knucklehead developers that will likely not listen to Baba Jesha. He doesn't know anything about construction. All he knows about is accounting. Who will preach to the construction folks? All those flights on Delta. God is putting you on those flights with the discounted ticket. Let's seek opportunity. It's a simple prayer. I'm going out today, Lord. Give me the Lord is sick of hearing me. Give me food. Give me this. Give me peace. Give me joy. The peace is only found when we're engaged in the Lord. Go ye into the world and preach the good news. May the Lord help us to be useful. The Lord revealed to me that in these simple things, simple obedience will become productive. Don't let's wait to be in church before we, and don't let's put on the martyr mindset, oh, I'm going to evangelism today. That's an event. It's good, but it's just an event, right? What happens the next 2 months before we go again? How many sinners do we pass by? In our neighbor, in conversation, would you like to go out? I remember there was one time that my neighbor met me by the mailbox, and I said, may I pray with you? And, you know, I wish I said it more often, right? I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm just saying, when I've tried it, it's worked. And they acquiesced, and, you know, and you pray with them. If nothing else, you're testifying that Jesus is Lord. So let's seek such active opportunities to be with, in everything, not some things, in everything. In everything. Maybe we will attend our team meetings with a little less selfishness when we know we're not just going there to solve the problem. We're seeking opportunities to represent Jesus here. You know, when you know you are no longer, the Bible says you are no longer your own. You are bought with a price. Right? When we begin to understand that truth, our approach to many things will begin to change. Because Jesus demands. Actually, that's what we're called to do. Everywhere. We might not be able to do the big evangelical camp meetings, but our little lights will shine where we are. We'll be witnesses. When you should be angry and you are not, and people ask you, why aren't you? You are being a witness. That's an opportunity to say, because Jesus lives in me. I used to be an angry person. When you meet with Jesus, you will have peace. Say, then some will reject it, or some will actually embrace it. Then these seats will fill up. Go ye into the world and be my witnesses. Remember the man that Jesus healed? And he said, look, I want to follow you. Luke 18:39. And the Lord said, no, don't do that. He said, go back home and tell what the Lord has done for you. Not everybody will be the 12 apostles. There must be other apostles elsewhere, right? So everywhere we are, let's go and tell. Then lastly, the Paul. Paul was waiting for Timothy in Athens. Acts chapter, what is it? And I'm trying not to call out these things because I may get it wrong here, then it gets embarrassing, right? But I think it's Acts chapter 17, 22. Paul was just hanging out. And then it's just like you're just listening to the news. And your heart rises within you that these Islamists have killed people again. That's the mindset of someone who is always looking to be a witness. And then the next time he had an opportunity, he stood up because he saw that the whole town was strewn with idol worshippers. And that became a tool for evangelism. So he started his message by saying, you, the God that you refer to as an unknown God, I now declare him to you. You see, that's an opportunity. He opened his eyes, he saw an opportunity, and he took advantage. That's how you're a witness. Professor, I realized that you were talking about, but I really declare to you, I think there's a living God. I know there's a risen God. How do you know? It might be a 5-minute conversation, but you've been a witness. There'll be the opportunity there. I noticed that you're downcast, my sister. Is anything the matter? Yeah, man, it's just a lot of personal issues going on. Well, the Lord says, cast thy burdens upon me, for I care. May I introduce you to Jesus because he's able to... I don't believe in that stuff. That's fine. And you walk away. But you've been a witness. The Bible says, in everywhere we go, we're aromas of Christ. To some, we're sweet aromas of salvation. To others, we're aromas of death. It's okay. Just make sure you're an aroma of Christ. Such are to be saved, will believe, and they will be. And those who do not believe will be condemned. What is not acceptable is that we keep quiet. It's no longer time, brothers and sisters, to keep quiet. Every opportunity, let's pray that we can leverage it. I was talking to Brother Peter that if we did our work representing Christ, our church, we have more people here. That is the truth. We turn around first by admitting our fault. We must admit that we have not allowed our light to shine in some places that it should. There are too many people hurting. There are too many sinners for there to be a church where the good news is preached and the chairs are still empty. There are too many people looking for the truth. I have to admit that I can work harder. And that's something I took away from Brother Paul's ministration. Say, the word is that. He said something. He said, those who preach falsehood and lies, say they have excellent packaging. They know how to recruit. ISIS knows how to recruit. Is it amazing that there's a force and people are going with their own money from Europe to places they do not know, leaving familiar grants to join death? Wow. I mean, if you think it's easy, try it. Ordinary planning to go to Nigeria is a major event. And it's family you're going to meet. You're not even going to meet death. It's family, people who will welcome you. And it's wahala. And people are leaving based on something they read on the internet, to death. Recruiting. And we have the living God, and yet we don't talk about him. We don't look for ways to recruit for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you make us active witnesses. Oh, we pray that you awaken us to be active witnesses, Lord. As we go out this week, let your grace go with us. Father, just please grant us grace, Lord. Help us to have the fullness of joy in you, to be able to look beyond our circumstances to an eternal purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.